Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. The true light, that's Christ, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It happened a few years ago when our younger granddaughter Ellie Kate came to stay with us, and the lessons for Linda and me really began that first night that Ellie was there. We were supposed to get Ellie to bed earlier, but, well, the time got away from us, as it often did. So we got her to bed a little later than we were supposed to, but there we were, both Linda and me, Mimi and Gran, laying with Ellie on the bedroom floor for a while before she finally drifted off to sleep. At Ellie's request, her Mimi had created a pallet for her earlier in the day on the floor at the base of the small Christmas tree in the bedroom, which she and her older sister, Hannah, know is their room in our home. The pallet was set up right next to this Precious Moments manger scene Ellie had arranged at the base of that tree earlier that evening. Lying there with her, Ellie alternated between switching the tree lights on and off with the remote and moving the beloved figurines within the manger scene. And every now and then, picking up the baby Jesus ever so reverently, holding him in both of her tiny hands and looking believingly into his face. The next morning, while helping to decorate the various parts of the house for the Christmas season with her Mimi, Ellie began, as she always does each year, carefully unwrapping and then setting up all the manger scenes around the house. And then it happened. While I was busy opening boxes of Christmas decorations in the attic, a wounded cry pierced the air in the distance from another room, breaking my busyness with a frantic announcement from our little girl. "Gran, Gran, there's no baby Jesus or Mary or Joseph in the box." Ellie arrived by my side right behind her, words reaching my ears to get me to come and to see what she was talking about. When we arrived at the scene in the playroom, she pointed to an open box with a set of figurines for Christmas, which her Mimi had bought, and which contained a camel, a sheep, a shepherd, an angel, and even a Santa Claus and a North Pole. But there was no baby Jesus. "Gran," she said again, "there's no baby Jesus or Mary and Joseph." Relieved at what I saw before me, I smiled and explained to her that this set was simply some figures Mimi bought, which she liked, and was not really a manger scene. All true. She looked relieved by my words, and so she left, satisfied, and continued her mission to set up the remaining manger scenes around the house. And all of that happened that day because Ellie believes that the baby Jesus belongs in the manger scene, every manger scene, everywhere. And of course, she's right. He was in the manger scene under the Christmas tree in her bedroom, which we saw as the three of us lay on the pallet on the floor together the night before, waiting for one of us to go to sleep. He was in all the manger scenes that she and her sister set up throughout the house, which they continue to do in our home every year. And in a few days, they'll do it again, under the Christmas tree, in the front entry hall, and wherever else a manger scene needs to go, according to them, making sure the baby Jesus is in each one, just like he was in the manger scene, which miraculously occurred over 2,000 years ago on a dark night, in a dark world, in a damp manger, in a dirty stable, on a cold night, behind a warm inn in the little town of Bethlehem. In the gospel which bears his name, which we read some of as we began this morning, John used the term believe, or comparable words 98 times. It's the gospel with just 21 chapters, yet it contains the word believe almost 100 times. You would think that John's desire was to get the reader to believe in the unbelievable, of a virgin birth of a baby boy to a young girl, the birth of God's son. And that is exactly what John was hoping would happen. How do you explain what happened? How can you possibly believe it? Maybe that's why John emphasized believing as much as he did. There was simply no way to logically explain what had occurred so that our finite minds would be able to understand. But John wasn't talking about understanding. He knew that was God's territory, and he would explain it to us one day. John was talking about believing. There was simply no way to be able to explain what the coming of Christ into the dark night of a dark world would mean to those who were present in those days and to those who have believed throughout the centuries to follow, all the way through today for you and me. Here we are in the season of Advent, heading toward Christmas, and I wonder what we're expecting to find. I wonder what we're looking for as the days pass by. I wonder what we believe is waiting for us up ahead as we fast approach the day of celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. What do we believe in a world that determines the success of Christmas, not in terms of changed and transformed lives, but in terms of the amount of business done by our merchants locally and elsewhere around the country? What do we believe in a world that so reorders our priorities that many of us and many of our families and friends go through life thinking that in each next day they will finally find the real meaning to life, maybe in their work or in social settings or in the accumulation of things or the size of their bank accounts or perhaps worse, in a bottle or in pills or in drugs? And all too often, too many find themselves coming to the end of their days and years unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and sadly beginning to understand after too many wasted years that it was never about any of that stuff. My friends, look, it's all about believing. It is always about believing in a virgin birth, in a manger, a divine, miraculous moment in the crowded town of Bethlehem, and in God's Son, the baby Jesus. And this year, it can be different for all of us. And it can be about believing for each one of us, and perhaps someone we know, someone we love who needs to believe. No matter where we have been or what we have identified as important this year and what we chase after day after day after day, it can all be different, and it needs to be different because, my friends, one time around is all we get. It can all be different. It has to be different, and it will all depend on what you and I believe. In his gospel, John made it very clear way back then that it's all about believing, believing in the birth of God's Son on a dark night, in a dark world, in a manger full of damp hay, in a dirty stable, in the little town of Bethlehem. What do you believe? What will you believe in? Will your life reflect that belief today, this week, and in the weeks leading up to the celebration of the birth of the babe of Bethlehem? And maybe for the rest of your life here on earth, it needs to. It has to. Gran, there's no baby Jesus or Mary or Joseph. But we know there is, don't we? And we're heading there again to celebrate the birth of the baby in Bethlehem. Believe it. Believe it. It will make all the difference in your life and mine for today and every day and throughout eternity. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you. For these dear friends, I thank you for this moment that we can just pause and reflect and remember that miraculous moment, something that you did that only you would think of. We would never have thought of doing that, but you did it. You did it because you love us, and we believe. The tomb is empty. All the promises are true. We believe it. We believe what you did to send your son for us because you love us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this Advent season as we move toward them, believing and believing and believing in what you did for us so that we might become all that you created us to be. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for your son. And it's his precious name and celebration we look forward to again that we believe in. In your son's name, that precious Son, we believe. It's His name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.